I'm Trent Norris, fund manager at Sterling Capital.
And this is Michelle Nipko. I'm the podcast host, and welcome to the One Trade Podcast. Hi, Trent. Hi, everyone. Gosh, it's so hard to believe we are already in April, and what an interesting quarter it's been. As COVID has become more and more in our rearview mirror, thank goodness, we have historic inflation and a war. If one thing is for sure, we could all use a good therapist after all this. Even the Prince of Bel-Air is going a little bit crazy. So as we exit the first quarter, for the year so far, the Dow is down 4.6%, the NASDAQ down 9.1%, and the S&P down 5%. All finished very solidly in the red, making this the worst quarter since Q1 of 2020. What are your thoughts on the current macroeconomics trends, Trent?
You know, the yield curve is now in an inverted dive, similar to Maverick in Top Gun when he flips the bird to the Russian MiG. The tens and twos are now specifically inverted. And this is a big deal in that mainstream financial press monitors this exact thing. And so, Michelle, what was that specific stat about the tens and twos inverting and predicting a recession?
You're right, Trent. The Fed is writing checks. The economy can't cash.
Isn't that the truth? I figured you were a Top Gun fan.
So, Trent, when the curve inverts, there has been a better than two-thirds chance of a recession at some point in the next year, and a greater than 98% chance of a recession at some point in the next 2 years, according to CNBC. So pretty high percentages.
Yeah, in Vegas, I'm assuming they would call that good betting odds.
For sure.
My gut feeling is the markets are going to get even more tricky going forward, and the traditional 60-40 stocks bond split certainly won't cut it. You know, bonds make no sense when they're yielding 2.5% and inflation is 8%. So staying mostly in cash makes no sense as your purchasing power is being eroded away.
Yeah, great point.
Yeah, I think institutions are waking up to this realization that bonds are making less sense going forward. I noticed that gold and silver were both negative on Friday, but Newmont Mining was up 4% on the day and hit a new all-time high. And I'm not sure what this means, and I don't have a crystal ball, but I do know that this is an indication that investors think gold is going higher. And Newmont is the only gold stock trading in the S&P 500, and it has the liquidity necessary for institutions who want some exposure. I believe that this is yet another positive signpost for the gold sector. And often miners lead the metals before a leg higher. And just this is something that I am watching closely.
Me too, Trent. And I really like the precious metal positions we have in our One Trade Podcast portfolio, looking for some potential asymmetry, right, that we've been talking about. So we have Go Gold, we have Millennial Precious Metals, Abra Silver, Endeavor Silver Corp, and GameStop. Oh, I'm just kidding. That one makes no sense to me, so that is not in our portfolio. Anyway, continue on.
Yes. So I think these precious metal stocks could really run. Now, I've been wrong plenty of times, but the path is becoming more clear from a macro lens. And on a whole nother note, the House of Representatives passed the marijuana legalization bill, and next it will head to the Senate. And the last stat I heard is that over 60% of voters are in favor of legalization. So I think it's just a matter of time. And even if it gets blocked in the Senate, this is positive for multi-state operators or MSOs because it gives them more time to strengthen their respective footholds in the states where they're currently allowed to do business. And there's currently maybe only 10 investable individual MSOs, and they are all listed on the OTC markets as cannabis is still illegal on a federal level.
And as a quick refresher for y'all out there, as Trent mentioned, MSO stands for multi-state operator. This is required in the cannabis industry because it is illegal at the national level, and cannabis businesses create separate legal entities in each state they hold a license under the same brand name. So just in case you weren't familiar with MSOs.
Yeah. And I find it extremely telling when positive news comes out in the industry about legalization, specifically in the United States, and only Canadian companies that are allowed to be listed on the NASDAQ, like CGC or Tilray, shoot up in price. And it's mind-boggling because the only reason they are allowed to be listed on the NASDAQ is because they don't do business in the United States.
Oh, so interesting.
Yeah, but this is the market we are in where fundamentals don't matter. The U.S. institutions who need liquidity in a stock rush in to buy CGC or Tilray or the MJ ETF on news that doesn't even matter to these names as they're doing business in Canada, in Europe. This is how dumb this market is at this time.
One thing is for sure, Trent, the market isn't always rational. Right?
Right. Our edge here is to position ourselves before safe banking and before cannabis gets federally legalized and institutions come pouring in. And that's why we discussed the ETF MSOS. I think MSOS is the perfect cornerstone to have exposure to cannabis, and then adding a few more individual names for possible outperformance is the way to go.
I like it, Trent. So it sounds like you're setting up for the trade of the week. So let's hear it.
Yeah, the trade of the week is Jushi Holdings, ticker symbol JUSHF. And this is a vertically integrated cannabis company that engages in cultivation, processing, retail, and distribution of medical and adult use products. And during the fourth quarter, the company saw a total revenue of $65.9 million. And this made for an increase of 104% year over year.
Nice.
And as always, management matters, and the CEO of Jushi seems to be making the right moves with focusing on Pennsylvania, Illinois, and Virginia, and passing early on in New York and Florida. And New York has been a nightmare for companies wanting to do cannabis, and Trulieve, another MSO, has Florida basically covered. So I really think that was a smart move by Jushi.
Yeah, smart. Very smart.
Yep. And institutions are waiting to pour into this growing sector upon legalization. And we can all envision a future scenario where the Wall Street bets crowd and millennials pour into this very small sector. I do think cannabis has a potential to be a generational trade. But just like I cautioned with MSOS, this is a longer term play. So possibly 2023 or 2024 story. It doesn't mean it can't run in 2022. But I'm looking to continue to add on significant weakness with a very realistic expectation on a longer term time horizon.
Great. And you know, looking at this stock, it's currently trading at $2.91, a very affordable price. And looking at the chart, the all-time high was $9.06, which is on February 5th of 2021. So it's dropped quite a bit since then. So to me, that says it has some really nice potential upside in our continuous quest for asymmetric trades.
Right. And like I said, I don't think there's a rush, but I think it's time to start looking at getting positions and just buy on the weakness with longer term time horizon. That's my plan.
Sounds
anyways.
Great. Love it.
Cool. And once again, a big shout out to the Terminator Trader on Twitter for helping me specifically with Jushi. And you can follow him at Twitter at Terminator Trader. So big shout out to him.
Thanks, Terminator Trader. And also, Trent, do you want to let the listeners know once again what your Twitter handle is? You always have some nice content out there.
It's at TrentNorris13.
Okay, great. All right. Well, thanks, Trent. Appreciate your hard work and research once again. And looking forward to another interesting trading week. Like I said, we all need a little bit of therapy, so maybe listening to this podcast can help with that a little bit. Let's have a good one. Thanks, y'all.
All right, everyone. Stay free.
And that's the podcast. If you like the podcast and would like to hear more each week, don't forget to subscribe. And of course, we'd always appreciate a review. If you'd like to contact us to learn more about Sterling Capital or just to say hi, you can email us at onetradepodcast@gmail.com. Let's have a great trading week, everybody. Take care. Bye-bye. And now for the required risk disclosure.
The material in this podcast is presented solely for informational purposes and is not to be construed as solicitation or an offer to buy or sell any securities or any related financial instruments, nor should any of its content be taken as investment advice. One Trade Podcast accepts no liability whatsoever for any loss or damage of any kind arising out of all or any part of this material. We recommend you consult with a licensed and qualified professional before making any investment decision.